Let's start that again. You missed the part where I was still writing my notes, and we had the bants going on.
Yeah, we had a great intro. We've just recorded
about 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes of good, solid banter.
I'm glad I spotted that now.
We gave some serious shout-outs to some very obscure YouTubers.
Rugby YouTubers.
Yeah. We're having a contest.
We poured beers. We realized we forgot coasters. We talked a little bit about having a cold.
Yeah. Wow. I wish you could have been there.
It was fantastic.
I almost feel like we need to start talking about rugby, but we need to have a sidetracked
conversation first.
It was about this time last week we started talking about masturbation. Now, that's not going to happen this week.
We've milked that one dry.
We're going straight into anal penetration this week. Mark, your thoughts?
Are you talking about what happened to the Blues at the weekend or what?
Yes, I did feel as though I was bent over during that game. But Mark, how's your week been? I guess we just have to go with a more standard sort of shit talk. It was some good shit talk.
We were doing good. I caught up with my family, my dad, celebrating his birthday on Wednesday. So we got the family together over the weekend. And
well done, Gaz.
Had a bit of a week gathering.
How old is Gaz turning?
75.
Ba-boom. Good on you, Gazza. Yeah. Well done.
He doesn't watch these videos. He's like, I watch all your podcasts. Just not the one with Tony.
Just not the one that's an actual podcast. Yeah.
Podcast is a term which Gazza gets used very liberally these days.
If we happen to have got you for the first minute or so of this podcast, happy birthday, sir.
Champion.
Yes. What a champion. And many more.
Yes. But it was good because there was his four grandkids were there, my two kids and my brother's two kids. And pretty much all of them had their own moment.
With him?
No, like...
Oh, flipping out moment.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
My niece got upset that someone, when they cleaned up the table, like when they take all the cutlery and plates away, they took her fork.
Well, she wanted
because there
fork.
Was a dessert to still come. Because on the kids' menu, you get a drink, a main, and a dessert.
Yeah.
And she just flipped out about her fork. They gave her a spoon with her dessert, and she just melted down.
Oh, wow.
And everyone looked at her like...
How old
terrible,
is she?
Terrible child. She's nine.
Oh, nine.
When they asked for, some people didn't finish their food, so they asked for like takeaway boxes. And my son grabbed the takeaway box and went to put it on his head like a hat. And everyone was like, no, that's for food. And he was just like, fuck you. And just put it on his head. And then everyone just looked at him like, what have you done?
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
It's not that bad. No.
He put a box on his head.
He put a box on his head, but everyone was just like, no, don't do that. That's not what that's for. And then he had the moment of guilt with the whole table staring at him.
They'll be sitting on that all week now.
Yeah, and my daughter was good as gold right until she went to play with the others, and then she got upset, and she came back crying because she didn't like the game they were playing. And then my nephew, who'd been the golden boy the whole time, he's a little blondie.
Yeah.
Like when we had to leave, he's like, I don't want to go. So they all had their moments.
Fantastic.
They're all humans with their own flaws.
What about you? When did you break down?
Yeah, just the whole time,
The whole time you were an absolute red mess. Exactly. You pissed yourself at the table.
Yeah, vomited.
You vomited.
Yeah. Went into the bathroom for a quick relief.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Told everyone about it.
Oh, that's... You know, I was...
People did enjoy the comments, by the way. Last week, there were some great comments about the intro to last week's video. If you missed it, if you skipped it.
Yes.
It was some engaging chat.
It was odd chat. I think it was
very left field, unplanned.
Yeah, of all our chats, it's probably the most left field chat we've had.
And we've had some left field chats.
Oh, that's what the whole podcast is about, really. It's called,
kind of. It's two called, cents gets distracted.
It's a rugby podcast.
One of my son's classmates, I don't know if this was a joke because I'm getting it secondhand from my son.
Your dad's a wanker.
No, he said to my son, because he only goes to school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Uh-huh.
He said, I don't know what HD is, but apparently I've got 80 of them. And that's why he doesn't go to school every day, because he can't handle it.
He's got ADHD.
So he doesn't know what that is. He's just like, I've got ADHD. I don't know what HD is, but I've got 80 of them. And I was like, that's great. If that's a joke, that's for a nine-year-old kid, that's top tier.
Either that or he's just interpreted it that way. Either way, it's primo. Gold. Yeah, I got 80 of them.
It made me think of you. And I brought that up. It's like, oh, Tony's got
ADHD. I've got fucking ADHDs. Yeah, that's very good. I fully have ADHD.
Yeah.
We're the special people.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have to talk about random shit because we find normal conversations about like taxes or politics or things of a mundane nature, like, oh, how's the job going this week? Oh, you know, Suzanne's been a real bitch, but we're moving things on as fast as we can. We just can't handle those sort of conversations.
Really?
The neural connectors in our brains don't process dopamine the same as anyone else's. So when normal human beings are having conversations about, you know, tax time or, you know, this new accounting software or like, what CRM are you using?
You can move that shit along.
We have to go, oh, man, I fucking saw this cow here on the way here.
Fuck. Biggest udder you've ever seen.
Shit.
You need to milk that sucker.
I was just thinking, like, imagine if you put some of those tits on a human and people go, what? Because you have to, like, stimulate something that's going to be dopamine-inducing, essentially.
There you go.
Like putting a box on your head. Maybe that's your son, potentially. I don't think he's going.
No, I think he was just trying to show off.
Yeah, right.
Because he saw a box and he's like, that could be a hat. This is going to make everybody laugh.
I still do that shit like that. Like, yeah. the amount of stuff I...
Everyone's like, Tony, no!
It's got a Pavlova in it. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been worse if there was food in it.
Yeah, I thought that's where the story was going.
No. His wasn't too bad. Just like
he just had an empty box and he was like, oh, come on, mate. You don't need... We're about to put food in that and it's got your head in it. And it's weird when you get that sort of scorn from a table full of adults as a child.
You saw him just shrink,
and then you'll be.
I felt bad for him
thinking about that all week, and you're like, and then it's not that much.
I had a wee talk to him about afterwards.
I said, why were you made such a fool of yourself, son?
No, I told him it was
now
all right.
You live with that, and I want you to think about that just before you go to sleep.
Yeah, right as I was wishing him a good night, I was like, "Now, son, if I can ever do anything like that again."
Do you remember that moment where you felt deep shame and embarrassment?
Yeah.
Relive that over and over and over.
I just said to him, like, you know how everyone kind of shouted out, "No, don't do that." That was your cue to like stop what you were doing. He's like, "Okay, Dad."
But it's also not.
That I was big. Like, "Wasn't a big deal."
Not a big deal.
Yeah. I don't want to scar him for life. Well, we're all going to scar our kids for life in one way or the other, but hopefully not a deep scar.
Yeah. My daughter's always constantly doing what she shouldn't be doing. Mm. So she's a massive performer. And well, she likes to dance and jig around. She's a the apple has not fallen too far from the tree in her case.
I think she's got 80 HDs.
I think she's got 80 of them, yep.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, she's pretty tops though. I'm a fan.
She's a good girl.
Yes, she didn't help us with the podcast this week. Oh, is there anything else we haven't done?
Oh, shocking.
Have you got your thing out as well?
Where is it?
We were two... Where is
it? Disappeared. Oh no.
No.
There he is.
There you go. Look at that.
Look at you. I can't remember his name right now. That's terrible.
Yoko Yokozuna. What? No, is his name on it?
Well, it's in Japanese.
And you don't speak that one, do you?
I don't read Japanese, no.
Anyway, we've got a sponsor. And boy, oh boy, it ain't you. It's a sponsor.
You know what?
You tell us.
I had three people looking to book sponsorship for this episode.
This
guy was booked in 2 weeks in advance, so I had to turn two other potential sponsors down for this week's spot.
Oh, yeah. This is an odd one.
This is... is this as left field as we've had?
It's pretty odd.
We've had some small businesses.
Yeah, this is about as small as a business
and
as it gets.
Right as it, like, the tracking was kind of getting closer and closer to rugby.
Yeah.
Right, you know, dog walker and then like boxing gym. That's sports, you know?
Yeah.
And then recently the vintage jerseys. Like, that's actually rugby related.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So right as we were like, next one, surely it's going to be the All Blacks. They're going to be sponsoring us, or you know, Steinlager or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something very rugby adjacent.
Very rugby related. We've got a Nathan.
We're sponsored by Nathan Lowland. Lowland.
Bro, I put the pronunciation guide.
Where's the pronunciation guide? Fuck, I got the wrong way around. This episode is sponsored by Nathan Lowland. Lochnan.
Irish names.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Lochnan, who has just finished his degree in geography and sociology. I want to say this right now. Let's give this motherfucker, what a legend, by the way, Nathan Lachlan. Let's give it, once we've gone through any sponsors, the first week that we don't, I really appreciate this chutzpah, like this get up and go.
Yep.
Let's give him a free week. Like, for him, he's paid us money. We've got his CV. He has sent us his CV and a bit of information about him. He's looking for a job. It looks like a top lad, but let's give him a free shout, a free episode once we've gone through the next lot of things. You agree?
Okay, next time we get a dry week.
Next week we get a dry week.
He might have a job by then, based on how things go.
We'll see how
he
goes. Either that, I think this is immense.
This is out of the box thinking.
Okay, Nathan Loughlin.
Loughnan.
What a man. You want to tell us about Nathan Loughnan?
I kind of double printed mine. Like, I printed both on the same page, so mine's a little bit harder to read.
All right, I'll tell you a little bit about Lothar. Okay, this episode is sponsored by Nathan Loughnan, who has just finished a degree in geography and sociology. So he knows a lot about people, and he knows a lot about the planet itself.
Would that be an arts degree?
Could be. With a focus on statistics and regional finance. Oh my God.
Maybe a bit of business in there.
He's looking for a job. Right now, mother truckers, give this man a job. Something exciting, global, and fast-paced. He's open to different industries and roles, as long as the work is challenging and engaging.
That's right. He has both Irish and UK passports.
But boom, so...
He's pretty much good to go wherever you can get people.
100%. We could, like, if someone offered him a job in New Zealand... Could he travel here?
Well, given that he's just finished his uni, I think we let people from the UK in pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty easy. You'd be able to get in. He's willing to travel wherever in the world. Here's a summary of his experience, finance, and professional work.
He's currently doing an internship at a discretionary investment manager. I don't know what that means.
It's at people's discretion, like investing funds and stuff like that.
So that he invests on their behalf?
Well, he's doing an internship, so he's learning about it.
He's
completed a venture capital internship this year. This guy is far more intelligent than us. I don't know why you get these two dullards to talk about how
he did a summer internship at an investment firm. So he's clearly been like adding strings to his bow.
Yeah, he also interned in the legal sector and also creative sectors such as advertising and animation.
Jeez, this guy's been doing internships for days.
You can't box him in, this man. You really can't. He's sales and marketing working.
Did you ever do internships? Like that's kind of go-getting, isn't it?
Not so much a thing in New Zealand. Well, in television, people did internship. I used to had a bunch of interns under me briefly when I worked in television. It's a bit of bullshit. You work your ass off and you get no pay for it.
You get experience.
Work experience. Yeah. But I think you should get paid, for goodness sake.
He's been doing sales and marketing. He's working currently in sales and marketing for a global consumer brand.
And if you want small antiques, he's already had experience in that too.
He was a manager.
Sales manager. And look, I think this is great for your ability to be able to relate to people, but working a bit of a stint in bartending and hospitality, ensuring that he can relate to all people of all walks of life, have them quick on his feet, you know, keeps his head on a swivel. Yeah, basically. So he's worked in various roles as bartender between 2019 and 2013 across pubs, bars, yada, yada, yada. Held a part-time duty manager position at a cafe.
It is good to get a variety of experience. If you're only looking at things from management or from finance, you're not going to get the complete picture.
100%. Let's get this man a job. Give him a job. In short, he's worked across finance, sales, hospitality, operations, and student leadership. He's taken on responsibility in small business and completed internships in more formal environments. He's flexible. Well, if he's flexible about what comes next, what is going to come next for this man?
I don't know. Well, this feels like a story we need to follow.
Yeah,
as well.
I want to keep us updated, Loughlin. Loughnan, sorry, pardon me. Nathan Loughnan. What matters is that the work is cool and interesting. Make it cool and interesting and a challenge.
He has got a one-page CV outline and a LinkedIn in the comments section in the description if you want, if you're hiring. Or you know someone who might be hiring.
What are we putting down here? Are we putting his email address or are we going to put his...
Well, to his LinkedIn page.
Yeah. Link to his LinkedIn page just down here. And then we've got a CV.
Yeah, CV. Oh, it is a BA. It's a BA in geography and sociology. So I was right. It's an arts degree.
All right. He's worked at Mars, Ireland.
But he did two majors.
IPS Capital, Upside Venture Capital, Umbra Capital. Like, the guy is incredibly
employable.
He's
worked with Python. That's a cool one for doing a bit of automation stuff.
What a legend.
Yeah.
Okay, mate. He's based in Dublin. He's a good, probably supports Leinster.
I would say so.
Yeah. What a champ.
Nathan Loughnan.
Give the man a job.
If you know someone looking for a bit of a go-getter.
And we're going to give you, we don't want any more money from you, Lachlan, Nathan.
Unless you find a really good job.
Yeah, unless you find an incredible, then we'll take a commission.
Yeah, exactly.
But we will. If you're still looking for work in a few weeks, which we hope you're not, we will give you a free episode because this is chutzpah, isn't it? Like, randomly reaching out to a New Zealand podcast, but we do have a lot of Irish viewers.
We do.
Who love to hear about Artie Sevier. But what a legend. I really wish you all the best, Nathan. Yeah. Really, really nice. Really, really like that. Okay.
The good thing is, since he emailed me this and booked in this episode, he has found a short-term gig.
Yeah.
I forget what he said it was doing. But
I feel kind of guilty we took some money off him.
Do you?
I do. Well, that's why I want to give him a free episode.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Good on you, mate. Well done.
That's...
Nathan's our man. He's number one fan for the week and number one sponsor.
There you go.
Thanks for the beers. Appreciate
it,
buddy.
Thank you for the beers, pal.
We're drinking jungle juice on your behalf.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
That was...
I did not ever see myself doing that, going through an Irishman's, young Irishman's CV.
On a rugby podcast here in New Zealand called Two Cents Gets Distracted, a rugby podcast.
A rugby podcast.
Which is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
iHeartRadio,
and wherever else you get your podcasts.
Boom!
It's almost like a professional. But not quite.
Yeah.
But not quite.
What a legend. What a legend. Okay. Now, after those giddy heights of talking about Nathan... how do we top that?
If you've
that?
Skipped forward to straight to the rugby
back
chat,
and, go back and listen to Nathan.
You've missed out on Nathan.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear about Nathan. But yeah, we should get on get on with the task at hand. You give me that task at hand hard, my man. Where do you want to start?
With some rugby.
Let's do it. Are you sure you don't want to talk about the USPGA?
Not really.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you want to talk about the USPGA later? Do I need to make a note about this?
It wasn't that great. It was just Scotty Scheffler dominating. Okay. Anyway. It wasn't that dramatic.
Yeah.
He wins. He's the best player in the world, but it's kind of boring when he wins.
Okay. I have one non-rugby event to talk about a bit later.
Is it Mark Nalbany to Nasty's try?
No, I'll put that down as well.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
Mark your mark.
And Origin teams have been named?
Do we really double down on the league? Do we go two league stories?
The Warriors as well. I want to talk about how they're going.
Three league stories?
How they're
Two
traveling.
Cents Gets Distracted, a rugby and rugby league podcast.
Just in passing stories, okay?
Okay.
All right, okay. Shall we lead with the man himself?
Speaking of legends,
oh,
almost as legendary as our man Nathan.
Almost, not quite, but...
He's not current World Player of the Year, is he?
I think he is. Oh, who won it last year?
Oh, I've had a mind fart.
Oh. Satiti won Rookie of the Year, basically, whatever, Breakthrough Player of the Year. Who won Player of the Year? Was it
DuPont? Peter Steph again?
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I can't believe it.
He's the former player of the IRB. I'm really tied to the bath. World Rugby Player of the Year. And my God. And being named as the Super Rugby Player of the Year.
With two rounds to go.
It is. And I want to talk a little bit more about how that's calculated and how amazing it is the fact that he's won that already. Artie motherfucking Sevier, bitches. This man has gone to another level. He is playing the best rugby of his career right at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where I have considered in my own life, like, what strength is within me that could I muster up if I was in a life or death situation? Like, you know, you hear
adrenaline pumping, you know, cars on fire.
Yeah, how you hear like babies, but you hear like young mothers lifting cars off babies and shit's going. That's how this motherfucker is playing at the moment.
Yeah.
And he's just playing. It looks like a guy who's like almost a professional level playing schoolboys.
That's how I think Mills mentioned it on the breakdown.
It's nuts.
He basically said, you know, schoolboy rugby, sometimes there's that one kid who's just better than everyone else. But this is at like a level with All Blacks on the field.
With Patrick Tuipulotu, with Papali'i, with Bowden Barrett on the field.
Yeah.
Like, it was the... We're referring to the performance. He's been playing incredibly well all year, but the performance that he just had against the Blues, where he was just... Name an aspect of the game, and
he was doing it.
He fucking did it incredible. Not just did it, did it incredibly well.
I don't think the highlights package does that one justice.
You've got to watch that full game just to see his involvement.
The Blues are not a fun team to watch right now. We're playing some pretty ugly rugby, but it is definitely worth watching that game just to see freakness.
Yeah. One of the best performances I've ever seen by anybody playing any game of rugby. I know it's super rugby level, but that's it was an incredibly important game for both teams.
Yes.
I want to focus a little bit more about the Greater Moana team and the Greater Blues team, yeah. But just like he did, there's one point where he secures a turnover, scurries out of the back of the ruck, and then does a 60-meter spiral.
Yep.
To touch.
It was a hell of a clearance kick.
What the fuck? Yep. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be swearing this much in the channel.
And that was not his only kick of the game.
Yeah.
Later on, he did a little grubber kick through, shimmied through two tacklers who were blocking him and managed to regather the ball and help keep them on the front foot. When they had a man in the bin and he was the only guy in the backfield, Bodie put in a kick through. He was the man who managed to get under the ball and ran it back at the freaking Blues. Like, the guy was everywhere. The guy's a loose forward, and we're talking about a spiral kick clear, a chip and chase, and like in the backfield fielding a kick through.
Absolutely.
When not only did they have a man down, but they had two guys down injured.
Passing ability was fantastic. He can play like a midfielder. He can step. He's got a great step on the left and the right foot.
Yeah.
Like he could play anywhere in the game. Probably just didn't quite have the pace for a winger, but and his ability just in contact as well. Like. Yeah. To be able to keep those legs firing like pistons from God.
Yeah.
And just to break through and continue when physics tells you that there's a massive Patrick Tuipulotu trying to bring him down, but every other man on the world goes down. But Artie's legs just say, fuck off.
I had a look at his stats in that game, and he was the top guy for offloads in the game.
Yeah.
Second for run meters, first for turnovers won. First of the forwards for passes, first for defenders beaten. He had at least one or two line breaks. He was the first for kicks and forwards.
Yeah.
Like, the dude was just... Like, some guys are good at one thing. Some guys are good at, like, a couple of things. But very rarely do you get guys who can just do...
Just go watch the game.
Everything.
Find a way to watch that
even
game.
Even with all this, us yanking him off, we're not doing him justice at all.
100%. And like, I think I very rarely comment on videos. And even my own videos are very rarely comment. But you did a short, and you put that up, and you're just his stats.
Yeah.
And I commented on it because I felt... So, and I was like, those stats don't even...
It doesn't even do it justice.
It doesn't even paint the picture. The time when he did these things, these immense things for his team, were when things were in the balance.
Yeah.
His turnovers were at a huge time.
He including won, like the match-winning turnover, at the end of the game
where he had every right to be completely out on his feet, like cramped up in the fetal position somewhere because he rode his body into the ground. He was continuing to be everywhere.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's just, it's otherworldly. It was otherworldly. And like, we should be, it was against our team, for God's sake.
I know.
We should be like butthurt about it. But you couldn't help but admire it
because it was unbelievable.
It was hard to be upset watching that game.
You couldn't.
It was insane.
You feel lucky just to watch that shit.
Yeah. It was so insane. And just, he's found, like, I think he's playing better for Moana than he did for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I want to have a look at his, because, you know, it all comes back to stats with me, but I don't think he's going to have, if I go back and compare them to previous years, I don't think he's going to have numbers like this.
Yeah.
He's been unbelievable. Like, early on in the season, I think you and I talked about it as well, not just us, but it's like, he's going to burn himself out. Like, he's going to get tired. He's carrying this team on his back. He's going to get
that's
tired.
That's a fear for the All Blacks. But
it's not happened yet, and we're almost at the end of the friggin' season.
Yeah, it's immense. And just to talk about how... So he's been named as the Super Rugby Player of the Year, and you might be like, shit, isn't there ages to go on that? The answer is yes, there is ages to go. So after every game, the captain of the opposing team
and the coach
of the opposing team has to vote on who the player of the game was on the opposing team.
Yep.
And they get attributed points. He's accrued so many points from opposing captains and coaches that even if he doesn't play the next two games,
he can't be caught.
He can't be caught.
They only do it the regular season, so the playoff matches don't count. But
two games to go.
Two games to go. He's already uncatchable. And this is not like fans voting on it. It's not fanboy stuff just looking at a highlight.
This isn't getting him in your fantasy team.
No.
This is guys who he's made their lives of
miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy, he's just too good.
Yeah. He's quite incredible.
And you said it last week. It was like, how much can one player do in a 15-man sport? But it feels freaking spiritual. Like,
look, Tony Johnson was talking about how that's the greatest performance he's ever seen. I don't have a good enough memory to rank that kind of shit. But I will tell you, I don't think I've ever seen one guy have that much impact on a team. Because like I said last week, it's a 15-man game. Like, you can be like Sergio Parise, played for a really shit Italy team and did amazing shit, but never to that point of lifting this. Like, the Moana would bottom side.
Yeah.
Like, were they the bottom or second from bottom last year?
Yeah.
And now they're like a mid-table team, and their personnel changes haven't been that drastic.
There was talk, and maybe even from us, going, was it really the call?
Is this going to bring him down? But JK was on the record saying that.
There was talk, like, was it the right thing to have? Are these guys sustainable?
Yeah.
Can they just be the easy beats every week for how many years before we have to get
I looked at them cynically as, like, this is New Zealand rugby have seen the support that the Tongan Rugby League team gets, and they think, if we just plop a Pacific-themed team at Mount Smart, then they're suddenly going to get all these fans, which never happened at Mount Smart.
No.
But admittedly, they never had a talisman like they've got now with Adi. And the North Shore Stadium certainly seems to be working a shitload better than Mount Smart.
North Harbour, baby.
Over on the shore, and with Adi playing like he is, people are getting out there to watch the games. And they're building a culture, not just on the field, but also their social media team is doing really good work to get engagement. Like, they've got the whole post-match songs and the slamming on the bins and whatnot.
They've got some creative content that they put out there. Like, they seem like they're doing a great job. They've taken sort of the way that, like, the Warriors, the New Zealand Warriors, the NRL team, do great social media.
To build that club atmosphere. You need to build that. Like, a lot of the Super Rugby teams don't have that kind of you need to be there vibe about it.
That feels like I wanted to be at that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
Moana seems to be doing that better than anyone else thus far.
I wanted to go to that game on Saturday night, but my daughter was sick as well. So, like, everyone's fucking sick around me.
Yeah, I've been a bit crook.
Yeah, I haven't gotten it yet. But that was just so, so amazing. I really was.
I have seen a few people trying to bring him down. I don't know what it is.
Why? How on earth?
It must be just the tall poppy thing. Like, people did it with DuPont. Like, he wouldn't even make, you know, he wouldn't even make this team. He wouldn't even make that team. Like, people can't accept that someone's doing really well.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some of the comments, well, how many World Cups has he won? Well, I mean, Stephen Donald is everyone's favorite pundit right now. That guy's got a World Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he in the conversation for, like, one of the best players ever? Probably not.
No.
But he's got a World Cup winner's medal. I don't want to get into a greatest of all time conversation, because there's no argument. Like, there's no way
Jonalomu doesn't have any World Cup medals.
Exactly.
Like, and he changed the world of rugby. Exactly. He made us a professional sport. But he was our first global superstar.
Exactly. So,
you know, DuPont is consistently the best international player in the world at the moment. I'd like to see him play the likes of Adi Savea on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
And he hasn't won any World Cups. The South Africans have a team of champions, and they are an incredibly great team. And they've also got players coming through that, you know, the likes of Sasha Feinberg and Gomazolo. Are we going to be talking about him in 15, 20 years as he's the greatest talent we ever saw? I don't know, but he's tracking pretty good right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So we don't know what's going to happen. We can just deal in where we are right now and what we're witnessing.
Adi's very, 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 very good. He is currently one of the best players playing the game.
Yeah, just at every, like,
and even for
turnovers,
a guy at that level,
tackles, attacking threat, passing ability, kicking ability, you know, a game awareness to when to pull out the massive play.
Leadership, like, friggin' everything.
And you know what? I'm not a particularly religious man. Like, my family's very Catholic, and, you know, my faith and all that sort of thing is something I've always struggled with my entire life.
Mm.
And this has never been Two Cents Gets Distracted, a Christian podcast.
Right.
But the first thing that he does, and, okay, role play, okay. Adi, what? That was just incredible. Like, the way you've brought this team along with you, what can you say?
Something about the big man upstairs.
No, yeah, all praise and all and glory to Jesus Christ, our Father upstairs. You know, we leave it all in His hands, and we just go out there and do it. We just have faith in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
or like it's a freaking Bible sermon. Like he's preaching like a pastor, and every post match it goes for quite a long time. How much he preaches, and then they have massive group prayer beforehand. It seems like we're talking about the intersection of sport and religion at the moment, and that may not, it sits uncomfortably with me a little bit, but it's clear that their relationship with Christianity is a huge part of what they're doing. They have a huge amount of prayer in that team. They finish with each game with like prayer sessions and all that sort of stuff. It's, and within Pacifica culture that is very, very prevalent, but it, oddly enough, It feels like his game is being elevated by something that isn't. Well, I'm not trying to say that. Like the human mind is an insane thing, but his faith is so legitimately real that just even within the existence of God or not, his faith in itself appears to be taking his game, elevating it to a level that
he feels he's serving a greater purpose than just rugby at the moment, right? With what he is embodying the team and whatnot,
and it appears to be he performs that way.
He's got his mojo going for sure.
Shit, can he play like this for the All Blacks? Can he play like this for the All Blacks? I'm sorry, I hit you very hard
three times.
Okay, I'll take him back.
Thanks for that.
Has it taken the pain away?
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Is he going to play like this for the All Blacks?
Oh, man, I hope so.
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
How the fuck is this man not the All Black captain?
Does your best player need to be the captain?
But he's so... The big part of his best player attributes, one of the things, is his leadership.
Joe Schmidt was talking on The Breakdown. Like, again, I don't usually watch The Breakdown, but they had Joe Schmidt on, so I was like, I'm watching that shit.
Yeah, right.
He said that Artie's not a big talker.
I tried to. I caught the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, it sounds like you. He said Artie's not a big talker. He doesn't talk much at all.
Yeah, right.
He's just, he does it.
Yeah. Just so maybe that's the goal.
But Richie was like that. Richie wasn't a big talker by all accounts.
And he was an incredible captain. Like, when you see a captain like... Scott Barrett played incredibly well leading up to the last World Cup and played very well at that tournament. I don't think he's played very well since the last World Cup. He's played not even at Super Rugby level. I think he had, for him, a subpar season at international level last year. I don't know if the captain... I'm not saying he definitely deserves to be an All Black. He's captain many Super Rugby winning championship sides, but
DuPont captains France and he's their best player. Sio Khaleesi captains the Box. Is he their best player?
He's talismanic, inspirational
for sure.
Leader.
Yeah, exactly right.
So basically, I reckon Artie Sevilla is as if I reckon he's a much better player than Khaleesi, but he's like got that that huge mana in the team, similar to what Khaleesi has. Khaleesi's a very, very good player. Don't get me wrong. And does incredible things on the team. I'm just saying he's not as good, as my opinion, as Artie's.
I think that's an objective one in that I don't think Khaleesi's ever been player of the year. So you can objectively say that.
There we go.
But you'll still get some shit. Maybe.
But I was saying, but he carries that huge amount of mana, that Mufasa mana, you know, just say the name. But also is the best player on the field, you know, at the same time. So he's like got the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Like, whereas the Boxer got like Peter Steff, who's probably there, like, or in recent years, just been their best player because he's a freak.
Yeah.
And then you've got Sia, who's like the inspirational talisman.
Yeah.
That's not in the same guy.
Yeah.
Two different roles, both very good.
I would really like to see not only him captain, but I want to see him stay in the number 7 jersey. Mm. I think seeing him for an extended period of time. I don't give a shit that we're literally talking about
Hoskins at number 8.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to put Hoskins at number 8.
No, they're not going to put Hoskins at 8.
Yeah, yeah.
But Hoskins has been a bit of a bright spot on the Blues. Yeah, we have been talking about Artie the entire time. Do you know, in that match, there was a guy who scored a hat-trick from Wanda Pacifica, and we haven't said jack shit. And not just run-ins. like good some try. Genuinely good tries, and we're just like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I thought
what have you done for me lately?
Just in terms of the wider
how many turnovers that you win.
The wider game, I thought the Blues didn't play particularly badly. I thought the Moana Pacifica played very, very well.
Yep.
And I thought that they when the game was in the balance for a long period and all the way through the game.
Yeah.
But they wanted it more. They would look like they were playing with more urgency, more physicality. They
had two yellows. Yeah. And yet we still couldn't really put them to the sword. They scored in both their yellow card periods.
They 100% deserved that. They wanted it more.
Yep. And you can feel it.
You can feel it.
27-21. We did get a bonus point out of it. Hoorah.
Which is important, though, given the time of the season. You know what? Like, there are two teams in the 09, though. Aren't they? That's a real derby. I know you might be thinking, Moana Pacifica, aren't they meant to be representing Samoa and Tonga? Explain that to them.
They're also in Auckland.
Well, Auckland is the biggest Pacifica city in the world. And there's lots of Pacifica people here.
Yeah, people from abroad may not realise that.
Apparently, Hoskins Atutu did a relatively controversial tweet and said there's only one team in the 09.
I think that was way back when. I think it was April or something.
And then they responded. They tweeted back just recently going, definitely two teams in the 09.
Something like that. Bit of social media bants.
Battle of the 09. When we say the 09, that's our area code.
09, our calling code.
Not that we use that many landlines anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Use mobile phones.
Yeah, I call landlines sometimes for work. You do,
for work, not for pleasure.
Hey, how you doing? Just getting on this 09 number. but yeah, the Moana Pacifica have a tough road in. They're in the top six.
They're in top six at the moment, but they got the Chiefs away, and they've never beaten the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they've got the Canes away, who are on a four-match run, I think.
Yeah, so if they lose both those games and we beat the Tars, we're in.
Yes.
And if they win both those games, we can't do anything about it.
Nothing about it. Their destiny is in their hands because we're on the bye.
Yeah, we've got a bye, and we don't get points for a bye in this comp.
Thank God for that.
And it's relatively unfortunate that these two teams are... I really want Moana Pacifica to be in the eight, in the six.
But I honestly will not be disappointed if we don't make the six because we have been... A tough team to watch. No neutral is like, you know what team I would like to see in a playoff match against the number one side? The Blues. I'm talking past the hate for Auckland, but just
shitty rugby.
We've just been a really tough, grindy watch.
Yeah.
It's not that bad when it's your own team, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been... That was a great game in the weekend, but that was... We don't deserve to be... And the... You think about that game, the first up game of the year when Moana Pacifica defended like 33 phrases, but Force would not let go of the ball, and then they scored a 60-meter try to win the game. Like, there's been a few sliding door moments like that where the Moana Pacifica could have been in a much better position.
They could already be more or less secured if they'd had a couple of those 50-50s.
I'm going to throw something a little bit wild at you.
Is it a badger?
Yeah, I'm going to whip a badger out of my pants. More of a beaver. God, now you've lost my train of thought. If I'm gonna say, okay, so they've got the Chiefs and the Hurricanes next, right?
Yes.
Two teams are definitely making the top six, right? Yes. And two of the better performing teams at the moment. If Moana Pacifica pull victories out against both of those teams, where are they looking like genuine threats for the title?
I still think there's a top three. Brumbies, Crusaders and Chiefs.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
I think at the moment the Hurricanes are still the most likely threat outside those teams.
Yeah, okay.
I can see the Reds upsetting once. I can't
what
see
a,
them.
What a fairy tale that would be.
Yeah, it would be.
What a fairy tale. Oh, God. Just kill me now.
I need to lift the trophy.
That would be amazing. I think that would almost... I'd be happier about that than us winning.
Yeah.
Am I now a Moana Pacifica
You've
fan?
You've been converted.
I am.
North Moana.
Because I said that to Julian. You know how I play golf with him all the time.
Yeah, that's right. You and old Jules. He's back playing
but
now.
But I said to him, I said that you're my second favourite team. He said, why don't we be your first? The other guy. And I said, if you beat the Blues, you will be. And they bloody well almost are. Like, yeah, that's so
good. Split the results with the Blues.
Yeah, and I really like the fact they play at North Harbour Stadium, and that's become a fortress.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're good atmos. All right, should we talk about something else?
The Highlanders lost to the Hurricanes narrowly, 24-20.
Poor old Highlanders, eh? Just struggled. 9 games in a row they've lost to the Canes now.
Yeah, and I think they've had one win in their last 9. So,
and that was the final 10 years ago, by the way.
Oh. I just mean this season.
Oh, I just mean in the last 10 games they played, the first one they won.
So since they won that final in Wellington, they've never beaten the Canes again.
No.
Holy shit.
I think. Yeah.
That's rough.
So that's, and they came out of the blocks very, very strong.
Yep.
What's the number? His name Lowe? Is it
Jonah
Lowe? Yeah, he scored 2 tries. That second
try. Where'd you bring a winger named Jonah?
Jonah Lowe. 2 great wingers, one more greater than the other combined. That second try where...
Oh, Ratu Maitavuktinipke was with the cross kick, and then there was the 1-2 play.
And the big bump off.
Oh, and Putivai got flattened. Oh,
yeah, that was maybe try of the weekend.
That was the kind of a shit game that had some great tries.
I thought I enjoyed the game.
It was a good game, but like there were just some drop balls, and I was like, okay, that sucks. And then there'll be a moment of magic, like, oh, this is great. And then there'll be a moment of shit, you're like, oh.
I might have watched that delayed on my laptop, and I was just fast-forwarding the boring bits.
The garbage.
So I was like, this is a good game.
Yeah, no, it was a mixed bag. Like, the magic, the high points were high, but the low points were pretty low.
I thought, I was thinking, the Highlanders are looking like they're going to pull this off.
Yeah.
I thought that they were relatively unlucky just to come unstuck at the end there. And then they have now, you know, cemented the fact that they're... can't really make it into.
They got to win their last 2,
and
against the Crusaders and somebody else,
and wait for other people to lose everything else.
Yeah,
right.
Unlikely. But Cam Roygaard had a good second half.
Yes,
and he won it at the death.
Yeah, great try. His first try, he scored 2 tries. His first try, that sniping quick, the quick feet. I'm waiting for him to put it.
He dropped a few balls in the first half. So yeah.
A couple of bad passes as well.
Yeah, first half was not flash, but second half he made up for it.
We've got a lot of stock in him to be, you know, our next like top flight world class halfback. So I want to see his form get right up there. But this was looks like he kind of stepped up to the mark at the time. They wore that fucking stupid jersey.
Captain America, jeez.
It's the dumbest of all the Marvel jerseys, and I'll go on the record by saying they're all fucking stupid.
Yep.
It is the most stupid.
Yep.
It's the dumbest one. They wear an all blue.
Why not Wolverine? Because they were going for Avengers. Stupid.
Yeah.
It's Marvel.
Yeah, just let them. Because that's almost perfectly their colour.
Exactly right.
Oh.
The Canes have annoyed me for a few years with that because they've had 2 sponsors, a home jersey sponsor and an away jersey sponsor.
Oh, really?
So there's been times when they've like had to play, I guess, for contractual reasons, their away jersey, but it's caused kick clashes. So
yeah, right.
You're fucking annoying, Canes. Just stick to your home kit, bastards. Gotta get that quiche.
Dollar bills, y'all.
We're taking money from a guy to advertise his CV, so like...
Nathan Lochnan. He's your man. Hi.
Would you wear a Captain America Canes jersey for Nathan?
I would for Nathan.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Waratahs lost to the Crusaders, 48-33. No Suaili'i, he's got a broken jaw. He's out for the season.
The whole season?
The whole Super Rugby season.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, he's back in the gym doing that sort of stuff, isn't he? But
no more games.
No more games.
Until the Lions tour.
It would have been good to see him get a bit more
That's
rugby.
What Joe wanted to see, just more games.
Yeah, well, they're going to throw him in there. Like, he's their
wild
card.
You don't have that talent, that salary without chucking him in against the Lions.
Put like a lockjaw thing on him or something. Yeah. Just wire that thing shut.
Crusaders looking pretty good.
Crusaders are looking pretty good.
Nickel fucking scored a try.
Yeah, they got out to a flyer, didn't they? And
19-0.
Looked pretty dominant. You thought, oh, Jesus, could be a long night. And there was a night where, like, it's the Waratahs' entire season on the line. So you think, okay, well, they're surely going to put something up here.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they did. There were a few moments where, like, wow, they get another try here. They
just get back into it.
They'd score, they'd work their asses off and score a try, and the crowd would get into it, and they'd get up and celebrate. And then immediately from the kickoff, they would drop the ball terribly and concede points. Like, almost at clockwork every time they score. Every time they got the faintest hint
hope is the killer.
A distant whiff of the game, they would say, no, 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 we weren't serious. We weren't serious about actually challenging for this game.
They did take the bonus point away from the Crusaders, if nothing else.
Yes.
So that's the one thing.
Are the Crusaders your favourites to take this whole
I hope the Chiefs do it. Clayton McMillan, final season, this to get himself a title.
Yeah, where's Clayton going next year again?
Munster.
You got a good one coming, Munster.
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
The Drua played the Force, and they flogged them.
Did not watch this game.
The Force got the first try. Was it within like 3 minutes? Was it in Lautoka.
The Fortress.
Fortress Lautoka. 7-0 to the Force, and then how many good points crowd? Was it unanswered? Yep. 38 unanswered points.
Ba-boom. Just went all Fiji and crazy on them.
Power from the forwards, slick skills from the backs, and just commitment. Like, you massive know, kick chase, turn over the ball at the ruck, and then...
And the Force are before now...
Before the Force can set defensive line. The Force are gone now, that's it.
So the Force are playing like a team that knows that they're gone.
They've lost four in a row. They mathematically are out now. Yeah. They've got a game this coming week, and then they've got the bye in the final round, so they can't make it.
After their best season ever.
They were in the top half of the table for ages.
Yeah,
it's just kind of gone to custard. They had a bye where they had the Hurricanes coming to town, and that was like their week to like get ready, launch a big campaign. Then they had a couple of games in New Zealand, like maybe scrape a couple of bonus points or something.
Yeah.
But they drew with the Canes, got flogged in their New Zealand games, and then they've just been beaten over in Fiji. Yeah, they lost to the Brumbies. It's
they
just...
lost their momentum, eh? And losing's become a habit.
Yep. Sad, but
yeah,
true.
Those that would have been a team I would have really liked to have seen, just for the fact that they have been struggling for 20 years without making a finals appearance, which I struggle to think of another franchise in anywhere in the world that's had a more sad record.
I remember Minardi and Formula One were always pretty shit.
Well, suck on that, Minardi.
The Brumbies also beat the Reds for dominance in Australia 24-14.
I didn't watch that game either.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would say a key point of that one is the Reds had a man advantage when the Brumbies got yellow carded and scored a big fat zero.
Mm-hmm.
When the Reds got a yellow card later, the Brumbies ran in two quick fire tries. So,
in your opinion, the Brumbies actually have the cattle to do something special this year and get a title?
They seem to be getting the best out of guys like Alala Toa and Slipper this year, and Tom Wright, Muirhead and whatnot are on fire.
That's great for the Wallabies. You want to be hearing Slipper and Alala Toa is doing well.
I think Alala Toa picked up a knock.
If you had Slipper, Alala Toa and Tanialatupo...
Plus Angus Bell and whatnot in form?
Yeah.
Then you're in with a chance.
You're in with a chance. Your man that you called a massive piece of shit at some stage...
Darcy Swain.
Darcy Swain. He's been good as well. He's been playing very, very well. And then I like Valentini, not Angus Crichton, McWright, and Gleeson. I like Gleeson. Yeah. Gleeson's my guy. That's a competitive fullback.
Got some good forwards in Australia.
Number 10's the big weak spot for me right now.
Jock? James O'Connor.
All right. Yeah, mate. Wow. God, what a story that would be.
Yeah.
What a story that was. Because he just sort of came over to...
Crusaders for a lark.
Yeah, like, oh, I've never played in New Zealand.
I'll see if I can get my hands on a...
Who else is there at the moment? Lolasio's injured. Tom Wright?
Donaldson for the Force. Is he injured at the moment? I think he is.
Who's Tom Wright?
Tom Wright's the fullback for the Brumbies.
All right.
Liner.
I just don't think he's underdone.
Yeah.
I think you guys might need to put him in the squad.
I think he does make the squad.
Yeah. Well, because he's playing well for the Crusaders. He's picked a good year.
He's always coming off the bench and having the weak cameos. I think he's getting a bit too much.
He had a much better.
He's been doing all right.
He's been doing much better cameo appearances than Lee Halfpenny had for there.
Yeah. Lee Halfpenny had what? Was it one game?
He had a shocker.
He was terrible.
I used to really like Lee Halfpenny.
Yeah, I've got a signed jersey by Lee Halfpenny.
Wow, la-dee-da.
Exactly right. Yeah. And he even says to Mark, best wishes.
What, really?
Lee Halfpenny.
How does it say that?
Because one of the Welsh patrons sent it to me.
And they had it, they got
he
it.
He had it custom signed.
Wow.
There you go.
Go, Mark. Well done.
Go works in the mines as well.
What a ledge.
A Welsh miner.
What a ledge.
But that's Super Rugby.
Super Rugby, we talked about
Ali Savia is the guy.
He's the guy, and you know what's cool is these games actually matter.
Yep.
I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's been a great contest this year.
Very good.
Yeah, crowd numbers could get a little bit better though.
This is true. You were going on about the Waratahs not getting. You were texting me about the crowds.
Yeah, because I was like, the Waratahs and the Crusaders. The Waratahs were playing for this season against the top rated side in Super Rugby, the best Super Rugby team of all time. And they had a focus group at their
11,000 fans is not a focus group.
And then across town at Olympic Park, the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs were playing the Sydney Roosters in front of like 50,000 people. And it was like awesome.
Yeah.
It was a good game as well.
I looked it up. There's 9 fucking league teams in Sydney.
Yeah.
There's 1 union team.
Yeah, it's not.
It's safe to say that league is a much bigger sport in Sydney than it is.
But like,
union.
But still.
It's 9-1. Well, you, then 9-1.
And then you think about Queensland, right? So where is the dominant area for? There is no dominant area for union. So in Queensland, you've got this many. You've got the
Broncos.
Reds. You've got the Reds.
Yep.
One team.
Yep.
Okay. And then for the NRL, you've got the North Queensland Cowboys. You've got the Broncos.
The Dolphins.
You've got the North Queensland. Oh, did I say North Queensland Cowboys? The Broncos. The Dolphins.
Yep.
The Gold Coast Titans.
Sport
is there more? I feel like there's one I'm missing.
No, most of the NRL teams are in New South Wales. 10 are in New South Wales.
And there's 4, yeah, there must be
10 in New South Wales, 4 in Queensland, that's 14, plus 1 in ACT is 15, plus 1 in New Zealand is 16.
Plus one of the Melbourne Storm.
Plus 1 in Victoria, 17, that's it.
Yeah, and then there's adding a team next year in Perth. You've heard about it, the Bears are coming back.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Did you hear about the gay rugby club connection?
Yeah, because people could get, like, if I was gay, I'd be called a bear.
But there's actually a gay men's rugby club in Perth called the Perth Bears or something. People have been going to the website and signing up and paying a membership, thinking that they're signing up for this upcoming
NRL
club.
And the Bears like, oh, Steven, a membership is going through the roof.
They've been offering free refunds for people.
Oh, really? That's good of them.
Mistakenly signing up for the
gay rugby team.
The gay rugby team, because it's a name clash.
Good on you, Bears. Well done.
There you go.
Legends.
Okay. Is it time for everyone's favorite game show?
I have caught zero URC. I am completely primed for it this week. So every week, we're eligible and practical. We play our post-game predictions show, where I don't watch any Northern European rugby. Otherwise, I'd be catching it all. But because of this game, I don't watch any of it and avoid all the news around it.
Yep.
And you tell me the fixtures, and I guess the results.
Right, this is the final regular season round of the
URC. I've
been
going pretty well.
We have our quarterfinalists locked in.
All right, okay.
First game of the week.
So the rules are, he tells me who's playing, where they're playing, and table position.
Yep. Okay. So the Stormers hosted Cardiff. Stormers just outside the top 4.
Yeah.
Cardiff just outside the top 8, which is the playoff spots.
Mm-hmm.
So Stormers already guaranteed playoff footy. Mm. Can't catch the top 4
for
a home.
Where are they playing?
Playing in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
For Cardiff, they are in pretty desperate need of points to qualify for the knockout stages.
I think the Stormers would have played a team. And that, did it have? What do they have writing on it? Like, did they have? If they got into, like, do they have a home semi-final writing on it or something like that?
Stormers couldn't catch the top 4.
So if they lost, there were no consequences.
Nothing really on the line for the Stormers, no.
I feel like they would have played a weaker squad, and the Cardiff would have played with all of their might, but the fact they're playing in Cape Town in South Africa with the travel, they just still couldn't do it.
Stormers 34, Cardiff 24. Stormers still played big gun players.
All right, okay.
They kicked a penalty at the end as well, just to deny them a bonus point. It was quite brutal.
They just needed one bonus point to get
it. I think they would have made it. I don't think they would have made it anyway, but it made damn sure they weren't going to make it because that was the first game of the weekend.
So South African.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Edinburgh.
So one out of one.
Edinburgh, who needed a win to secure their top 8 spots against Ulster, who are already out.
Okay.
The game was being played in Edinburgh at the Hive Stadium.
Edinburgh got up for the fans.
47-17.
Boom.
Darcy Graham hat-trick. And a yellow card. So he had a really busy outing.
Darcy Graham's a rugged player.
He's a little pocket rocket.
Mm,
he's like someone Scottish called him like discount Cheslin Colby.
Yeah. He's got a bit of mongrel to him too, doesn't he?
He does. Munster played Benetton. Munster at home. Both sides, it's basically a pre-knockout. Whoever wins this game,
I've got to go with my Munster men there.
30 points to 21. They won it.
3 from 3.
Yeah, 3 from 3. So Munster have booked themselves a spot in the playoffs. Benetton, Outski. The Bulls, who are the second side overall in the URC behind Leinster, took on the Dragons and Loftus, who've won one game all season.
Do I really have to say it? The Bulls.
Yeah. What do you have a guess on the margin?
I reckon it was an absolute
Did the Bulls crack 40?
I think they cracked 50.
Yeah, 55. 55-15.
It's a pretty good guess.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Rian's team, the Lions.
They're already gone, aren't they?
They're already gone. Taking on the Ospreys in a dead rubber. Ospreys already gone. Lions already gone in Joburg. Very similar log positions, like 12th and 11th or something like that.
Just based on home advantage, I give it to the Lions.
29-28, last minute try.
What am I, 6 out of 6 here or 5? Yeah,
you're all, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4, you're 5 out of 5.
How many more games to go? I've never had a perfect round.
3 more.
Yeah, right.
Zebre taking on Connacht, both sides again already out, so it's a dead rubber. Zebre have had one of their better seasons in the URC this year, but they're still the second bottom side. And Connacht have got a same win-loss record as them. They've been terrible this year as well.
Played in Italy. I'm going to give it to Zebre. Damn it. No. Fuck.
Connacht got up for it. They broke their losing streak 22-12 over Zebre.
Bugger!
Yep.
Yeah.
There goes the perfect run. It was so close. The Sharks, who are top 4 side, took on the Scarlets, who...
Such an easy... One of the keys to this game is always bet against the Welsh. And the toughest thing is when Welsh teams play against each other.
Yes. The Scarlets, with all the Scarlets other results having been played, the Scarlets were already kind of guaranteed their top 8 spot.
The Scarlets are the best Welsh team, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Based on all the results going their way, they were guaranteed a top 8 spot anyway.
Okay. And they're playing...
in Durban.
Okay. And who are they playing in?
The Sharks.
Sharks. I'll go with the Sharkies. John Plumtree
sucks. It was 12-3. There were no tries in that game.
Gosh, geez, that sounds like a dirge.
I watched it.
Why did you watch it?
Because I didn't know the result, and I thought this might be a good watch, and I was wrong.
It sucked.
It was terrible.
Yeah, right.
There was a drop goal. That was the Scarlets' 3 points. And then Leinster, top of the table, took on reigning champions Glasgow. Leinster at home.
And Leinster, where are Glasgow now?
Top 4.
I'll still give it to Leinster.
Yeah, 13-5. 2 tries in that game.
What, 7 out of 8?
Pretty good.
I really should make some punts before these games.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we should reveal whether I made it better.
Yeah.
What do you reckon my win ratio is that I get every week? I usually get over... Usually around about
70-80%, surely.
6-ish. I usually get 6 out of 8 or something at least.
You do pretty well.
Yeah. All right. Well done to all those teams, and I hope you enjoyed.
Oh yeah. So the quarterfinals.
It was pretty easy. There wasn't really any real difficult.
No. All the
four
Welsh sides lost in South Africa. So that's like.
Yeah. Okay. It was pretty easy that week.
Yeah. Quarterfinals are Glasgow hosting the Stormers, which should be a good game because Glasgow are kind of in bad form, whereas the Stormers are in good form. The Bulls are taking on Edinburgh at Loftus. Bulls should probably win that one. Leinster hosting the Scarlets.
Yeah.
Leinster should win that one. And then the Sharks are taking on Munster. Somehow the Sharks finished 3rd and they still look like shit.
Really?
Yeah, they got all these Springboks. It's one of those ones where it's like Rassie gets that team to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then John Plumtree is just like.
Struggles with them.
Yeah, I don't know. Because like there's a bunch of box in that team.
How's Khaleesi looking? Is he.
Jeez, I can't even remember if he played. Did he play in that game? I don't feel like he played in that game. Right. If he played, I don't remember it. I blocked that game from my memory. It was terrible.
Sounds like it. Okay. Well, fabulous. Thank you for that. Are we ready to move on to the sports?
There is Champions Cup rugby coming. The Champions Cup final. Yeah. Finally. Finally.
Is it this weekend?
This weekend.
I've forgotten who Northampton. I want Northampton to win it.
There you go.
So I have to watch that in the weekend.
It's on a really bad time.
What time is it?
Like 1:45.
Not on a fucking Monday, is it?
Sunday.
For fuck's sake.
Sunday 1:45, so you can watch it.
It's Monday morning.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought, no, that's fine. I can wake up on Sunday and watch it. Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's not, I thought it was on Monday morning. I was going to be, oh,
no.
Okay, cool. That's good. It's good. I'm not going to wake up for it.
No, but you'll look forward to it.
I'll wake up after a couple of wines and check on that, have a bit of avocado toast and a coffee.
There you go.
Good little Sunday morning.
You want to talk about Marky Mark.
Mark Na Wangani Tawasi.
There you go.
Scored maybe the most incredible try you will see in a long time with a skill set I have never really witnessed. Now, we have all seen chippy head tries.
We have.
We have all seen like great finishes in the corner.
Yes.
We've all hopped before.
Most of us that have got legs.
Have hopped. This man managed to combine all of these skills and score a try. I am not going to do it justice by describing it to you, but please go watch the highlights of Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Just can write in Bulldogs versus Roosters highlights.
I can tell you how good it was because somebody on the Rugby Union subreddit posted that try.
Yeah,
like, league tries don't get posted on the Rugby Union subreddit. I guess the fact that he's a former Union player helped.
There's some sort of
connection, but it was a pretty fucking good try.
It's insane. So he receives a ball out wide. He has two defenders closing in on him. Does he beat one man? I can't quite remember. Anyway, he gets to a point where he looks like, for all money, he's going to get bundled. He's going to go over the touchline. He raises one foot in the normal motion that people raise a foot when they're running, but realizes if he plants that foot, he's so far weighted across the line, he is definitely going.
Stepping in touch.
He's going to step out of touch. So instead of putting his foot down, he hops on one foot while simultaneously dropping the ball onto the hopping foot whilst putting together the most perfect chip kick around the corner post, back into the dead ball area, comes back into the field of play from outside the field of play, regathers the ball and scores the try. Now
it's pretty good.
It's insane.
Yeah,
it is. It's one of those ones you go, what?
Doesn't really make sense. It's the kind of thing that if you saw that happen in a video game, you'd be like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that.
Exactly.
Like, no human could physically do that.
It's the, like, all of it's amazing, but it's the hopping. It's the hopping while simultaneously doing a perfectly weighted kick. Like, I could have 1,000 attempts at that and
still never get it.
Whilst having huge human beings coming at me trying to smash my fucking head off.
Yep.
Like, remarkable.
Remarkable. Ba-boom.
Boom. Yes, go watch that try. It was a thing of beauty.
It was rather good.
Yeah. I can't edit it into this podcast because of copyright issues. Stuff. Yes.
But it's worth a watch.
It is, absolutely.
If you haven't seen it. Can I tell you about my bitterness?
Yeah, you're a bitter man.
I'm very bitter.
What are you bitter about?
The NHL.
Yes.
The old ice hockey.
Hockey.
I had a bit of good news recently because the team I follow,
yeah,
which is the Islanders, which is not a very popular team.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's like the equivalent of supporting, but...
It's like supporting Zebra.
No. They're like a genuinely unpopular. I think because people don't like people from Long Island. I've never been to Long Island, so I've never had a Long Islander give me shit.
People don't like people from Long Island.
I think they're a bit abrasive. I think that's the reputation. Right. But I followed them for a number of years now, ever since my son was born and I got to have paternity leave and watch ice hockey. That's where my channel originated from.
Yes.
So I've been following these guys. They won the draft recently. They had a 3% or 2% chance to win the draft lottery and get the first pick. So that's good news.
That's great.
But our former guy, former captain, former number one leader guy, 7 years ago, this is how long I've been bitter about this shit.
Yeah.
He was in the last year of his contract. And you know, in American sports, you get draft picks and you can trade people and stuff like that. He was in the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept telling the Islanders, I really want to stay. I really want to sign a new contract.
Yep.
and they didn't trade him away because they thought he wanted to stay. But then when his contract expired, he was like, actually, I'm going to leave.
He did a Judas.
And I'm going to go to Toronto, which is my hometown, and I've always loved them. I wore their pajamas when I was a kid, and I'm going to go to Toronto because that's my home. So the Islanders were kind of like, I thought you wanted to stay. If you'd told us you wanted to leave, then we would have traded you and got something back for you, you know? But we got jack shit because we waited for you.
So, he played it for himself, basically.
Basically. And to be fair, he wanted to go home. But he
and if he said, I plan to leave, they would have been like, no, we're trading you to the freaking Oilers.
Yeah, but he would have still been in the last year of his contract anyway. So anyway.
He did the dirty on them.
He kind of did the dirty on them, did a selfish thing. Although he had given the best years of his career to the Islanders, and they'd been a shit team for most of that time. So you could argue he's paid his dues. But if I'm following that team, I'm like, you're fucking Judas. Fuck you. So I've been following him every year since he joined the Maple Leafs, waiting for the day they get eliminated in the playoffs. Today they got eliminated from the playoffs. Game 7, which is the deciding game, at home against the reigning champion Panthers.
So you feel vindicated?
Yeah, I feel good. Every time they get eliminated.
You felt bitter. You started this by saying you felt bitter.
I kind of hate watch. That's not really hate, but I bitter watch every time. Every time they go out when he's there, I'm just like, that's good.
All right.
I'm glad you lost.
Fascinating anecdote.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it.
I'm very glad they lost. 7 years I've been watching that. And just like, I'm glad you lost.
Bit of a long game.
They have lost their last, I think, 5 Game 7s. They just can't win a Game 7.
That sucks.
Something like that.
Scotty Scheffler won the USPGA by 3 shots, I think, quite convincingly. Okay. Other than that, and Origin team's been named. Very strong lineups. And the Warriors are second on the ladder. 8 wins, 2 losses.
There you go.
Pretty damn good. Last
season.
Pretty damn good. Up the wires. All right. That has been...
2 Cents Gets Distracted, a rugby podcast. Thanks to Nathan.
Nathan, we really hope, wish you all the best, man.
His LinkedIn is down in the thing.
Yes.
Give him a job.
And I have to put something there. All right. Awesome. Well done, Mark. Congratulations. See you later.